listening to Scene Queens podcast.
My name is Oro.
And I'm Grace.
And together we are Scene Queens. Maybe we should say why we... I feel like everyone has a podcast.
Yeah.
Which is fine, I think.
Which is good.
But maybe we should say like why
we have ours.
Yeah. You go first.
So, as we said, Oro and Grace, and we've always loved film and TV. Film and TV. Always talking about film and TV. Always going to the cinema. So we said, why not put this together where we can talk about our thoughts and like take out the group chat? And so Scene Queens was born. So here we are.
Yeah. I feel like also you're playing it down. You're a writer. Oh, she writes film. She writes scripts. And then, yeah, I used to do film reviews, film critiquing.
She saw that on TikTok.
Yeah.
Really and truly.
That's why we're credible people to talk about this stuff. Yes.
But yeah, just a space to talk about film and TV, but in a very relaxed way. It can be reviews 1 week. It can just be award
chatter. Yeah, exactly.
The next week.
Basically, whatever's going on. Whatever we do in the week when it comes to film and TV, you'll hear about if you watch our pod or listen to our pod.
Listen to us.
And that's kind of it. Okay, so what I wanted to talk about today was, we're in March right now, third month of the year. And obviously January is kind of the month where people do like New Year's resolutions and kind of New Year, New Me vibes. But for some reason, film and TV for me doesn't start in January. I think it's award season. Mm-hmm. There's award season going on. So then you're reminiscing on like the year prior.
Yeah.
And you're maybe rewatching stuff, or like I get into like TikTok like wormholes where I'm like, oh my God, remember this scene or whatever. So it doesn't start. So I feel like March is kind of where I'm starting my like new year, new film me, mm-hmm. new TV me.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a few things for me to share. I haven't been to cinema as much as I wanted to this year.
Yeah.
Boo. But I do think March, I'm like, oh, there's like just a sense of renewing. It's spring as well. Maybe it's symbolic. I don't know. But there's a sense of like, okay, cool. Like I'm back in it now. So I started thinking today, okay, cool. Like, what do I need to watch? And then TV, I've had a go with. I think I was ill. I just had a cold. Like, obviously you take the time off work and you're just kind of in bed. You're not doing anything. So TV, I was like, cool. What could I do with my time right now that doesn't require any energy? It requires minimal kind of thinking. And I was like, cool, I'll start a new show that's not like, not too deep.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to feel about it, et cetera, et cetera. Went on Apple TV, because no one goes on Apple TV, obviously. So I was like, there's going to be loads of stuff on there that I haven't watched. And there are two shows that I want to point out. One completely fit the brief in terms of like, mindless watching sounds negative. I don't mean it negatively at all, but more just like an easy watch, maybe easy watch. So the first one fits the brief there. The second one absolutely did not fit the brief, but I was like, I've got time and I'm never going to get this time again to just watch hours and hours of a show. And the two shows are, the first one was Shrinking.
Okay.
Oh my God. Shrinking, guys, if you haven't watched it. And I say that
it's on the list for me. I need to.
I say that obviously no one watches Apple TV is like a bit of a joke, but it is like a multiple award nominated show. People rave about Harrison Ford's performance in it. You've got Jessica Williams. Guys, it is excellent. It is so well written. It's written, or I wouldn't say it's like created by Jason Segel and also Brett Goldstein that did Ted Lasso.
Okay.
Yeah, that's in Ted Lasso. Oh my God, it's so brilliantly written. It's so witty. Mm. It's funny. Like I was like, oh my God. And it's basically about this guy who is he's a therapist, and you meet him a year after his wife has passed away.
Okay.
So his wife has died. You meet him a year after in the first episode. He's got a daughter, a teenage daughter, but he's also a therapist. So obviously he's like helping other people, using his time to help other people, but got his own stuff going on at home.
Jason Segel.
Yeah. So he's a therapist. He's the main character. The therapy clinic, is that the word that you use?
I think so.
For that stuff? The therapy clinic is like owned by Harrison Ford.
Okay.
So he's like a senior therapist. Mm. And Jessica Williams is also a therapist. Oh. So that's the dynamic there. It is so funny. It's obviously touching on grief. And it is honestly, the nuances that it gets about grief are so... Bear in mind I was ill when I started watching it. And I'm home alone because I'm ill and everyone else has gone out to work. I was laughing. There were points where I was like, oh my God, tears in my eyes, what's going on? I'm not really like a TV crier as well, but I think it's because the way it's written is so accurate and so nuanced to the point that I think anyone could get emotional at it. But I think if you've been through some of the stuff that they're talking about, you're like, damn, man, this is a little bit too close to home. This is a little bit too close to home. Or this is almost too accurate. It's not the first time grief has been portrayed in a show, but it's almost like, in the Euphoria, everyone's like, this fucking play about us. It's literally that. Like, you're like, sorry, are they in my house? Yeah. Well, no. But it's so good. It's so well written. Harrison Ford, I completely get why they talk about him so much. But okay, honestly, the entire cast is so, so good. So that was my first watch. My second TV watch as part of my new year, new film and TV me, which did not fit the brief of mindless watching at all, like not even one bit, Severance.
And I knew that's what you were going
to
say.
Late to the party, obviously.
I told this girl to watch Severance in 2019. Is that when the first season came out?
Yeah.
I was like one of 10 people in the UK.
Yeah.
Watch Severance. And I've been screaming for 3 years. What? 3 years. I'm in my late 20s, I'm in my mid-20s when that show started. And I look at where we are, but amazing. But yes, you can't turn your brain off.
You need do you know to be what? Engaged. One, I need to be engaged. I also do think, though, that like, sorry to you, but I'm extremely glad I did not have to do that, what, three-year, four-year wait for it. So yeah, sorry to you, but I didn't have to go through that. Hopefully I don't have to go through that again for season three,
honestly,
when it comes. But honestly, again, didn't fit the brief of Manus watching. It was like an episode would end and I'd be like, cool, Severance episode 8 explained. And you're reading the like Vulture articles that like explain every single thing. And then I have a few things to say about that. So you do get into it. And I do like the kind of, the Vulture articles are usually really good.
Yeah, they are.
Because they do a bit of a breakdown and they kind of keep it to, they keep it to what is shown. They link back perhaps to like, they might say, you know, you saw this in episode 8 and you also saw a nod to it in episode 2. And I think that's cool. I like that it's not too sensationalist. And I think with Severance, obviously when you start watching something, your algorithm changes and you start getting fed all this stuff on TikTok. Some of the stuff I see, some of the theories are really solid.
And some of them,
and some of them are absolutely ridiculous.
And I'm like, guys.
And you know what's so funny as well? Because obviously I was late to the party. I can see theories that people had in season one that have already been debunked.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, you guys were crazy with this one season of this show.
I just realized I said it started in 2019. I think 2021 or something.
But still, ages ago. But yeah, I think it's the kind of show that like you can get so deep into it. And because it's kind of like twisty and dark and like not really rooted in reality, but also rooted in reality. There's just so, there's so much for it. And I think if you aren't watching it, join the club. As you know, I'm now in the club, so join the club. Please. It's so good. Again, really well written. I think I'm excited, and I don't know when it's going to come out, so I might have a verdict by then already, but I'm excited to see how they round up season two. Because there have been a few points this season where I've been like, okay.
And what's coming next?
Okay, like, yeah. I'm with you guys, but okay. I also think as well, they did, we're on episode 9 now. So episode, are we on episode 9? Yeah, we're on episode 9. So episode 7 and 8, I think, were both, you know, the kind of, there's a word for it that I can't think of now, which is going to annoy me, but you know the kind of episode that's like out of the ecosystem? Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're like out of the ecosystem. So we had the episode with Miss Cobell, where we went back to her hometown, which is like away. And we had the Gemma episode.
Yes.
Which was beautiful. But again, it was like kind of away. Like obviously, they're these characters that are, they are part of the show and they're part of the normal ecosystem, but we saw them like out of that, if that makes sense. Yeah. And I think because it was two in a row, I was a bit like, guys.
The show's changing.
And also, Mark Irvin, let's focus. But I am really enjoying it. So yeah, that is part of my new year, new film TV me. I'm planning to go to cinema this week. And yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what is gonna become of this year in terms of, you know, sometimes you get a year and you're like, oh, that was a good film year. Mm-hmm. Or that was a good TV year.
Yeah.
I don't know where we're at with this year yet, but I'm excited.
We've got time. Lovely. Okay, I've got one.
Have you?
Like, you'll get it.
Okay, we can do your one first and then I'll still think because I actually don't have one.
Okay. What film am I? It's an early 2000s film.
Okay.
It's a comedy.
Okay.
I feel like this is a big clue. But the title...
Don't say that, because then if I don't get it, that's really embarrassing.
Okay, it's an early 2000s comedy.
Yeah.
The title is also a name of a character.
Okay, cool.
We've discussed the film before. We like the film.
Can I ask questions?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm like, what? Is... When you say a name, is it like a one... Like Shrek? Or is it like...
No. It contains the name of a character.
Oh, it contains the name... Like What's Eating Gilbert Grape kind of vibe.
Yeah.
But obviously not Gilbert Grape, but that's not really a comedy. Okay. Are they black? Are they white? What's the vibe? Like
a mixture, mostly white. A lot of female cast members. Set in a high school.
There's a film.
But they look grown. They're set in a high school, but they look grown.
Early 2000s.
It involves dating.
Sorry, I feel like my brain is turning off. What the hell? Okay, no, hold on.
So far, it's early 2000s comedy.
Yeah.
Mostly white actors, but...
But there's a few ethnic minorities.
You ethnic minorities.
Yeah.
Set in a high school.
Set in high school. Involves dating.
Involves dating.
And it's got the name of the...
A name of a character. Of a character. In the title. There is a male character played by...
Oh, yeah. Who's in it? No, is that like...
No, I can't tell who's in it.
Oh, okay.
By an actor who... Very conventionally attractive. He was also in a long-running TV show, but only in like the first two... He was in like the first two seasons, I want to say. It was like... He wasn't a mainstay throughout the whole series. Okay, what else can I say?
Do you know it? Oh, come on. What the hell? There's a character in it. What was it? What kind of show were they?
Okay, so the show, I feel like if I say the show... Okay, so the
what
show...
What kind of show? What
the show that they were in...
Medical drama?
No, it's... Okay. You could almost call it a soap. It was so melodramatic. Again, had a like primarily female cast.
Desperate Housewives?
Yeah.
John Tucker Must Die. Oh my God.
Did you get it?
Oh my God.
It's okay. We're defrosting.
What the hell? Oh my God, I did. Thank you.
We're defrosting.
What the hell? That was good. Thank you. From you, not from me. Great film.
Excellent film. I love that film. John Tucker Must.
Yeah, it is. I actually kind of wish we had more films like that. We don't really get...
We've
lost recipes as a society.
True.
Okay, I'm going to do one.
Okay.
And I'm going to try and do... Okay, I'll do... This film is a sci-fi film. It came out like in the 2010s.
Okay.
Late 2010s, I think. It is a, like, people love it. It's a fan fave.
Okay.
I didn't love it, but it's a fan fave.
Okay.
It is a, it's a sequel.
Mm-hmm. Blade Runner 2049. I'm all right. I low-key guessed it 2 guesses ago, but I was like, when did it come out?
What the heck? Well done. That was
Thank you very
so
much.
Annoying.
Thank you.
I don't know when it came out. I remember going to see it and actually hated it.
I didn't like it either.
I think it came out like 2018.
That sounds about right.
Something like that. Yeah, I didn't love it. Cool. Well, you won because you were better.
Should we try again? Was that?
No, it's fine. It's going sharp enough on my... I'm just going to go on Wikipedia and just search film.
That's what I do. I'm on Wikipedia all the time, just looking at films.
Just randomly. Maybe I need to start doing
that. That was me on my way here.
Really?
Yeah. It's kind of like just what I do, I'll be honest. Like when I'm on my phone...
Oh my God.
Wikipedia. I love Wikipedia.
What was I doing on the way here? Not that, obviously. I think I was looking through pictures. I'm always looking through pictures.
Yeah.
Pictures that like I took.
Yeah.
Like I know what they look like. Anyway, maybe I should not do that. Okay.
Quick award season recap.
Should we?
We've got that in number 2.
Oh yeah, we do.
What time do we have?
What is the time? What time?
7.
Okay. Maybe we do, yeah, let's do the award. I'm just trying to think, when would we put it out there? Would it not be like a bit
later?
Yeah.
That's fun.
Well, not later, but like, you know, it's like a bit further away. Yeah. Maybe we do, let's just do your section. And then, and then we can do this, the recommendation thing that we put in the trial episode that really should just be moved here.
Okay.
Like a recommendation of something.
Okay. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Okay. So I'm talking about making art when you might not get the acclaim that you believe you deserve. Because I think, what I've been seeing on Twitter lately, in the last couple of years, so much of the discourse around any film that comes out is, what was the box office like? They didn't make their budget back, blah, blah, blah.
Oh my God, yeah.
So what?
Mm.
I'm like, why should I care? Because I'm not a business exec. I'm just a paying customer who went to go and see the film. And it's about the art, ultimately, I think. Like, it doesn't matter if the film was under budget. Like, it's truly just, I just think, why should I care?
Mm.
The film made some money. It might have been under budget, it may have been over budget, it may have gone according to plan. But ultimately, that's not a problem for the public. Like, we just want to see a film because we want to go and see that film. Maybe we saw the film and we absolutely loved it. Maybe we saw it, we didn't like it. We saw the film regardless. And I think it goes back to the point of, I think making a film is just such a great achievement in itself.
Oh my God, definitely.
Sometimes I feel kind of bad when I'm like, oh, I really didn't like that film.
Because
you made a film.
Yeah.
That's so sick. You made a film. Like, I was on a short film that, the process of like being on it was cool. Like I loved being like, every day I'm going to
part
set.
Something.
And
yeah.
Even though it wasn't necessarily a film that I would watch, like it wasn't my kind of thing. I was like, oh, I was in that and I love it because of that. Like even when I watched it back, I was like, the fact that I was a part of this, is sick. Like, you guys made a film that we're all part of the filmmaking process, which I just think is just so amazing. And I guess there's also so much subjectivity when it comes to film. You can love a film that so many people hate, or you can hate a film that so many people love, which sometimes I feel both happens to me. Like, when I was younger, they used to show X-Men The Last Stand on iPhone.
Oh my God, they banged that out
all the time. So I've watched that film so many times. I had no idea that film was not popular. I loved that film growing up. Like, I've watched it so many times. I remember finding out and I was like, what's you guys in it
like? Oh my God, that's like Moyo, my sister. She, her favourite film in the world, like, she will put it above anything. You bring her The Godfather, it doesn't matter, she's putting that above it, is Uptown Girls.
Yes.
Uptown Girls with Brittany Murphy, she thinks is like a cinematic masterpiece.
She persuaded me to watch it.
We didn't even watch it in cinema. We definitely just got the DVD. You know, yeah. When they used to do like £3 for £10 in Matalan, and my mum brought it home and she became obsessed.
And like, sometimes that's fine. Like, she loves that film. Like, that's the film for her. And the director, writer, producer, whatever, they'll love her for it. That's fine. Like, not everyone has to be in the majority. It's nice sometimes to be in the majority.
Definitely.
It's nice to have like critical
make
play.
The money.
But sometimes
the
that's
love
not
you.
Gonna happen, and that's absolutely fine. Like I said, love X-Men The Last Stand. I very much recognize all of its flaws. Like, when people say they don't like it for whatever reason, I understand. Why did they kill Scott Summers? I understand all of that. But also, I think Hugh Jackman gives such an amazing performance in that. I think the actors are so on form in that film. Famke Janssen, if I hope I'm saying her name right, who plays Jean Grey. I think she's great in it. Like, there's just so many good performances. I'm like, I can never say that's just a terrible film, because like, look at the things that you got out of it. I think the action is cool. Like, I just have a good time whenever I watch that film.
I saw two, like, I don't know what the word is, like, pieces of discourse about basically what you're saying recently. And one was about Mickey 17.
Okay.
And it was basically saying, it was a review, actually, it was an article. And the review, the headline, or like the top bit, was basically saying that Mickey 17, I haven't watched it, so this is just literally what the article said, but it said, Mickey 17 is exactly the kind of film that a director would and should make post a huge, like, getting a blank check from a studio post, like, Parasite, right? Yeah. So obviously Parasite was this, like, huge, like, award-winning film, and they would have been chasing after Bong Joon-ho. Like, they would have been like, oh my God, please, like, make us a film, make us a film, just to have his name attached to a film. And they were saying that despite the article was basically saying that, yes, the film is flawed and there are little bits that are like, maybe I wouldn't have gone there with the story, maybe I wouldn't have gone there with whatever. But actually, like, the scale of it, the like, love of the craft that you can tell went into it is exactly the kind of film that someone should be making if they get a huge blank check from Universal or whoever.
And like, if you put all the business aside, that's what cinema should be. Like, I've made the film for the love of the game. I had an idea, I wanted to make it, and I got it made.
Literally. Like,
they gave me the money and I did it.
Yeah. The second piece of discourse I saw, you probably saw this as well, was Mr. Coppola. Francis Ford?
Mm.
Yeah. With, what's the film? Megalopolis. What was it called?
Yeah, I think
that's what
it's called. No, you saying that, just, I'm like, yeah, it sounds right. It flopped.
And then he got nominated for the Razzies, and his mega...
That is what it's called, right?
Megalopolis, which was obviously like, I mean, I'm going to check, even though we said we don't talk box office, but it cost $136 million and made 14.
Oof.
Yeah. Like, and it had a huge, like...
It's not my business.
It's got Adam Driver, Giancarlo Esposito, Aubrey Plaza, Shelley, like, loads of people in. Obviously, a Coppola film's gonna cost you some money. And he got nominated for a Razzie, which is basically like the antithesis of the Oscars. It's like the worst films to be awarded as opposed to the best. And his Instagram comment, which is funny because he's like this old guy, but yeah. His Instagram caption was basically him accepting the award, but saying that, like, this kind of award is never gonna kill his
passion
and his love for making something, like having an idea and putting pen to paper or hand to camera or whatever,
and
creating
it.
Something.
Because sometimes, so like in, I don't know, so sometimes people dislike a film, like when it's released, and then 20 years down the line, the whole, like, the title changes,
my God.
And then it becomes a cult classic. Mm-hmm. Like, the film I was reading up about when I was on my way here is The Thing in 1982, which is one of my favourite films. I watched it in uni, I want to say. I had to watch it for a lecture. I loved that film. It was panned when it came out, but in the last, I don't know, whenever, like, the tide started to change, but it's, people love it.
Yeah, it's now, yeah.
Talk about it now. It was remade as well. And I loved that film. Now, when I watched it, obviously, in the 2010s, I watched it. And that film came out in 1982. I'm seeing it with fresh eyes.
Yeah.
Compared to like whatever the critics thought at the time. And I'm like, it's so innovative with everything that they were doing with practical effects. And I was reading up about John Carpenter, like hadn't worked with, I think, that bigger budget before. And like, all these things that went into making the film, like the Wikipedia page for that film is long. And I'm like, it was so amazing. And then it came out and it flopped. And I was like, guys, what's going on? Like,
yeah, it's wild.
Like, me in 2015, I'm thinking, why didn't you guys like it? Like, that film is just amazing.
It's wild.
Like, the things that they're doing.
It's like a Fight Club's another one.
Mm.
That when I watched it, and I would have watched it, I don't know, late 2010s or something. I think I watched it when I was in uni.
Yeah.
And I watched it because people talk about it with such like, oh my God, Fight Club, oh, first rule about Fight Club is no one talks about Fight Club, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. Watched it, I was like, oh my God, love it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah,
and then it was the 25th anniversary, I think, a couple months ago. And I went to go and see it again in cinema because they put it in cinema for the anniversary. Went to go and see it again. And like you, I was like, oh, let's just go on the Wikipedia page. This is the first time I've ever like really like gone on the Wikipedia page and like looked and stuff. And I was reading it, it was like, yeah, no, when it first came out, people were like, nah, like the violence is unnecessary. Yeah, I don't get it. It's too bloody, it's too this, it's too that. And I was reading it and I was like, sorry.
It's about the same film.
What? And it's funny because I had the perspective of I watched it because people loved it. So because I was so late to when it came out, I've skipped past the people hating it. I've like skipped past the realization that people now love it. And I'm just firmly in the like, oh, people love it, this film, and it's great, and that's it. So when I read back, I was like, oh. Right. So yeah, it's mad. It's, yeah, it's interesting.
But I'm always just like, if you can make the film, some people might love it, some people might not like it. And even if someone doesn't like it, you can learn from whatever it is that they didn't like. Like, at the time we're recording this, we're a week out from the premiere of a film that I wrote, or Ray will be hosting, screening for that. And I hope that people like it. I'm hoping that that's the overwhelming consensus. But even if they don't, or even if that isn't the case, I wrote a film.
Yeah, and it's sick.
And it was made.
And so many people haven't done that.
You know,
that's not like a normal thing. Do you know what I mean?
And it's also like, I used to dream of times like this. I did used to dream of times like this. And I'm living in that reality. So I remember even when I was on set, I was like, oh my gosh, y'all here because of me. Like, I wrote this and I'm seeing it come to life. And I'm like, whatever happens afterwards, that's sick to me. Like, that can't be taken away from me. I'm very like grateful to God for that. So if you can make the film, make the film. Like, it's always going to resonate with one person. Just make the film, guys. Make the film. Make the film.
Make the film.
Do what you can.
That's the key takeaway. So then should we do the recommendation? Okay. So we're going to close out with a recommendation from us. Given that you've listened to the entire episode, you should trust our recommendation watch it. So I'm going to do one TV show and one film. TV show, I'm going to go with Shrinking. I know I spoke about it earlier, but guys, it's so good. Disclaimer. I did only watch season one. I'm about to start season two, but I've also heard good things about season two. So I'm still going to recommend it. Really good acting, really good writing. And like I said, like it hits nuances that other shows don't necessarily get. So yeah, that'll be my TV recommendations. Obviously on Apple TV, so you're going to have to get that to watch it. But they do like trials and stuff and there's ways around it. So yeah, Shrinking is my TV show recommendation. And then my film recommendation, I'm going to go back to 2011. And every time I say this to people that have watched the film and I say it's one of my favourite films, I can kind of see in their eyes that they're a bit like,
what do you mean by that?
Okay. But one of my favourite films, and I think truly an essential watch for film lovers, is We Need to Talk About Kevin. It's a 2011 film. It's a, again, not to like hone in on budgets, but it is a really like tiny budget film. And it was produced by BBC actually, or BBC was one of the producers. Yeah, I think it's produced by BBC, but it's set in America. And it has Tilda Swinton in it, who's phenomenal. And she plays the mum. And Kevin, in the title, We Need to Talk About Kevin, is a troubled child, played by Ezra Miller. Troubled child. And do I spoil it? Is that a spoiler? Does it start?
What do you want to say?
I'm going to say that you're
starting with the...
Yeah, let me not spoil it.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil it for you, but basically he's an extremely troubled child and it is so well acted. It is a chilling watch, which is why I know people are literally like, why is this one of your favourite films? But I think to convey that level of chill and that level of... Because it's kind of scary and not in a jump scare, oh my God, the monsters are coming to get you kind of way, but in like a... Oh my God, like what is in your mind? It's harrowing. Yeah. And it's acted so well. It's written really well. And it's so good. It's quite short as well. It's concise. But that would be my film recommendation. Please watch. I love it.
And my film rec is going to be what I just spoke about, 1982, The Thing, directed by John Carpenter. Again, I really, really enjoy that film, really like it. It's got Keith David in one of his, I don't want to say it's one of his first film roles, but I know he like primarily had been in theatre before that. And it's got Kurt Russell in it. And it's about a group of guys in Antarctica, I'm gonna say. They're in a, what do you call it, in a like research center, which they find has been invaded by this like extraterrestrial life form who can take on the appearance of anything. Like it can assimilate into absolutely anything. It can be a human, it can be a dog, and you'd never know. So yeah, they're dealing with that. The 1982 version I'd recommend. And for TV, I'm gonna go with The White Lotus, currently airing. On season three? Mm-hmm. Yeah, season three right now, yeah. Set in Thailand. And I'm enjoying it. I didn't actually like season one, and I wasn't going to watch season two until Aurelien told me to watch season two. So went back, watched season two, enjoyed season two, and I was like, yeah, I'm into the show now. So season three, I'm enjoying. We're like four or five episodes.
I think so, yeah.
Right now, and the last episode, yeah, stuff is happening in that show. Like, you people are freaks, and I'm down to watch it every week. So yeah, The Thing, 1982, and The White Lotus.
Okay, and that's, we need to close us.
We're supposed to have our random
cold close.
Oh, I don't even know. Oh my gosh, do I not have the picture of the example anymore? Jeez Louise.
I'm trying to think, how do we like close out?
Do like a proper like
catch you next time on
and then our random throwaway line at the end of all of that. Write it down, boy.
Did you? I'm trying to think. No, I need to. I wanted to watch it today. Adolescence.
I'm starting it.
I wanted to watch it today, but then really, I wanted to watch it today, but then work was, I hate when work actually expects me to work. So I was literally, I was like, what the hell, guys? I had plans.
I will watch it.
Because there's only four episodes. Yeah, so I was like, I could do that in a day. Like,
I
need to watch it.
That probably.
I love like, it's apart from the story that Winnie.
Yeah, I've been hearing.
I'm going to start it tonight, bro.
I'm excited. I also love Stephen Graham. Oh my God. Sometimes I do think, yeah, and I was saying this the other day about like an advert for like a comedy show thing, that song with the annoying laugh, the one that does 8 out of 10 cats. Anyway,
Alan Carr.
Not Alan Carr. The other one. Jimmy something?
Sorry. I said Alan Carr.
Jimmy Carr. Anyway, he was hosting a show and it was like, I basically saw the advert and I was like, it's always the same comedians. Like, it's just always the same exact people. Anyway, I say all of that to say, usually I'm like, oh, let's switch it up. Let's get some new talent in. But not Stephen Graham. Not Stephen Graham. He can stay. He's so talented. He's so talented. And then you hear him, like, speak and he's got that mad Scouse accent that he doesn't actually use that often.
Ever.
Like, when he's acting.
Yeah.
So talented. Okay, I'm going to watch it. Maybe I'll watch it. I'll see. Maybe I'll watch it tonight. I need to watch White Lotus as well, though.
So that was the first episode of Scene Queens. Thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to see you for the next one. Bye.
Bye.
Amazing.